Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's word for our special meditation this morning is recorded in the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 9 and 10, which read as follows. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, the only Savior of poor sinners, beloved hearers of his precious word. The terminology that we commonly use to describe various aspects of the true Christian faith is really very simple. So simple, in fact, that any child with reasonable intelligence can understand it. While it is true that some of the terms come from other languages, terms like creed, justification, sanctification, and even baptism, a simple explanation is usually sufficient to make such terms a living part of the Christian's everyday vocabulary. Provided, of course, that the concepts or ideas expressed by those terms are themselves a part of his everyday life. Take the word grace, for example. The word comes from Latin, and it means simply a gift. When we confess, as we did just a few minutes ago in our hymn, by grace I'm saved, grace free and boundless, we paraphrase the words of St. Paul in Ephesians 2, verse 8, by grace are ye saved. It is the gift of God. Grace, you see, is the very opposite of wages. We earn wages by our work. We deserve wages by virtue of what we have done. But grace is a free, completely undeserved gift bestowed upon its recipients totally apart from works. Or as Paul adds in Ephesians 2 verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thus we Christians hold fast to the scriptural teaching of justification, that is, of forgiveness by God for all our sins, by grace. For Christ's sake, since he paid for that gift, through faith, through the confidence of our heart which lays hold on that gift. Why? Because, brethren, that teaching, that doctrine, is the chief teaching of the Christian religion. It is the teaching which distinguishes true Christianity from all false religions, all of which teach salvation by works. It is a doctrine that gives enduring comfort to penitent sinners who would despair if they had to depend upon their own meager efforts to merit God's favor. And it gives all glory to God, the giver of salvation, whose mercy endureth forever. And, as we know, it is the necessary basis for a truly God-pleasing Christian life. Sola gratia, by grace alone, is the confession made by the great Apostle Paul in our text for today, who credits his entire spiritual life and being to God, declaring in all humility, by the grace of God, I am what I am. This must, of course, be our confession too, as we, with Paul, consider the wretchedness of our former condition. The blessedness of the grace in which we now stand, and the abundance of the labor which the Lord has called us to perform as the fruit of our faith in Him. Paul writes in our text, I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. This great apostle to the Gentiles, who as the penman of the Holy Spirit authored 13 books of the New Testament and founded and nurtured congregations in Asia Minor, Macedonia, Greece, and Italy before being beheaded under Nero in Rome about 67 AD, Paul places himself at the bottom of the list, so to speak, and says that he's not even fit to be called an apostle. Why? Because, he says, I persecuted the church of God. Paul, whose name originally had been Saul, Saul of Tarsus, was actually a Pharisee before his conversion to faith in Jesus as his Savior, as we read in Acts 26. He had made it his special mission to make havoc of the church, Luke tells us, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Acts 9, verse 1. Saul of Tarsus was the hatchet man of Caiaphas the high priest, whose persecution of the Christians was feared throughout the length and breadth of Palestine. And yet, in spite of that notorious reputation, in spite of the wickedness of his deeds, yea, in spite of the fact that he had thereby persecuted Jesus himself, as we read in Acts 9, verse 4, where Jesus said to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? The Savior chose him to bear his name before the Gentiles and kings, and the children of Israel. He changed his name to Paul, meaning little, in contrast to the big shot he once had been. And he made him an apostle, right along with side by side with the others whom he had sent forth to preach the gospel to every creature before his ascension into heaven. Mark 16:15. Why? Why did God select Paul of all people? Not because down deep beneath his wicked exterior, Paul was a good guy at heart. Not because Paul had what people call redeeming qualities, which kind of compensated for his wickedness. Not because the Lord Jesus gave Paul a chance to work his way back into God's favor by means of satisfactions, penances, and compensatory works. No, says Paul, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. By grace, not of works, lest Paul himself should boast. Now, you and I, too, my beloved hearers, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, the Bible tells us. Ephesians 2:3. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, the best things we can come up with to do, are as filthy rags in God's holy sight. Isaiah 64:6. What we deserve by nature is what Paul deserved by nature. The wages of sin, death, eternal death, and damnation in hell. We could never work our way back into favor with God in order even partially to save ourselves. And therefore, it was not by the works of righteousness which we had done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Titus 3:5. By extending his gift, his grace of kindness to the unworthy, so that by the grace of God, we are what we are. Not of works, of which we wretched sinners are totally incapable by nature, but by grace and by nothing else. Now, what had Paul become by the grace of God? An apostle? Yes, that too, but a lot more, as we see when we search the scriptures in the book of Acts and in Paul's epistles. Saul of Tarsus was converted on the road to Damascus from a proud Pharisee to a humble servant of the Lord Jesus. From a self-professed slave of the law to a fearless preacher of the gospel. From a self-righteous scoffer and blasphemer to a self-abasing confessor of his Savior. From a child of the devil to an heir of everlasting life and heaven by faith in Jesus' merits alone. And all this by the grace of God, by the free gift of God's mercy, who was not meet or fit to be called an apostle. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost, we declare with Paul in 1 Corinthians 12:3. If we, like Paul, have been enabled to confess Jesus as our Savior, it is due to nothing in us but the grace of God, offered to all men in the gospel, in the means by which His Spirit is given to enlighten us with His gifts, to sanctify and to keep us in the true faith. Even the desire for salvation, the will to believe, and the confidence in God's saving grace, which lays hold on His forgiveness, it's all by grace. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For it is God, writes Paul to the Philippians, which worketh in you both to will, that is to want, and to do of His good pleasure. He not only offers us salvation as His free gift, bought and paid for by Jesus, not with gold or silver, but with His holy precious blood and with His innocent suffering and death, but He also creates in our hearts, again as His free gift for Christ's sake, the faith to accept the gift. It's all His work, not ours. By the grace of God, we are what we are. The children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, and heirs of life everlasting. Therefore, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation, that being justified, that is forgiven of all our sins and made right with God, being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope, the sure and certain anticipation of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, Paul writes to Titus. Or as Luther writes in the Articles of our Creed, this is most certainly true. But we also confess with Paul, by the grace of God, I am what I am, as we consider the abundance of labor He has given us to do. Labor not to earn His favor or to merit a place in heaven, but to show our faith and to prove the sincerity of our love for Him who first loved us. As we see immediately in the example of Paul, even our works are enabled by the grace of God, and not by our own self-motivated, self-controlled, and self-willed efforts. The apostle writes in our text, God's grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, than all the other apostles. Now that sounds like a boast, doesn't it? A harder worker, a more zealous laborer, a bolder preacher, a more eloquent speaker, a tireless missionary, a more fruitful apostle, perhaps, than they all. Was Paul a braggart concerning his diligence and faithfulness in a line of duty? Not in the least. For in his very next words, he gives all credit where credit is due, saying, "Yet not I, it wasn't really I that did all of this, but the grace of God which was with me." God's free grace in Christ Jesus had not only rescued Paul from his former condition of unbelief and wickedness, it had not only made him over into a child of God by bringing him to faith in his Savior, but it enabled him to live his faith in deeds, not just in empty words. He worked as a Christian. He labored more abundantly than they all. He eclipsed all the other apostles in his work by the grace of God. God's gift to the undeserving, whereby his Holy Spirit renews men's hearts by the power of the gospel, so that they can overcome sin and do good works to the praises of him who hath called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. That is God's enabling grace. Now, when you and I consider the labor that the Lord has set before us, when we see in his precious word the expectation of our dear Lord Jesus that we too bear much fruit, that we labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior, that we let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven for his grace toward us, we too, like Paul, become workers together in our Heavenly Father's business. In the business of Jesus' kingdom of grace. And we labor. We work. Lazy, shiftless, uninvolved, and unmotivated workers get canned from their jobs here in this world, don't they? Why? Chiefly because their lack of productivity betrays a bad attitude toward the company and a lack of appreciation for their position. And the same goes for unfruitful, unproductive, lazy, and unmotivated laborers in the Savior's vineyard. Their lethargy and lukewarm attitude betrays a lack of appreciation for salvation as the free gift of God, and for the force that drives every true Christian. Not himself, but the grace of God that is with him and enables him to bring forth abundantly the fruits of faith in a life overflowing with works of love and devotion and service with cheerfulness. Do nothing Christians are not true Christians, but are the unfruitful, dead branches which Jesus says are pruned off and cast into the fire. Oh, may the manifold grace of God in Christ Jesus our Savior, whereby the light of faith was kindled in our darkened hearts, may that move and enable all of us to live henceforth from this moment on, not unto ourselves, but unto him which died for us and rose again, our dear Lord Jesus. To the glory and praise of the grace of God, by which we are what we are, his redeemed, reconciled, justified, adopted, and sanctified children and heirs of everlasting life, for Jesus our Savior's sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through abiding faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.